Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Y'all know that? Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's an old song for kids that grew up in camp, and maybe you remember that song as well. Some of you have never heard it, but guess what? You can't unhear it now, can you? It's gonna be stuck in your head. Well, that is the fascinating phrase from Philippians we're gonna be talking about today, from Philippians 4:4. The text that we're gonna take it out of is gonna be 4:4 through 4:9. I'm gonna read that to you in just a second, but first let's ask God's favor to be with us. Lord, we thank you for the service that we've enjoyed so far, and we pray that now as we go into your word would go into us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, if you have a copy of the scriptures, I'm going to Philippians chapter 4. We've been in this series called The Fascinating Phrases from Philippians. Say that 10 times. And I'm going to pick it up at verse 4. Paul is the writer. He's on house arrest. And we've been learning from him all these nuggets of truth that's been helping us in our faith to grow, as well as understand what is it like to hold God's joy and peace and power in the midst of whatever it is you're going through. Let's check it out. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." That's next week's Mother's Day fascinating phrase about anxiety. You don't want to miss it. But as we continue on in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, sisters included, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Now, when you think about this passage, if you'll just do some observation, you'll see several exhortations. He talks about joy. He talks about peace. He talks about prayer, and he talks about positivity. You can look through the passage and see all that coming out. Talks about joy, rejoice in the Lord always. He talks about peace, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. He talks about positivity, whatever is worthy of thinking about, noble, true, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think on these things that are positive, and it will guard you and guard your mind into the things of peace. And so as we look at these different parts of the passage, we see these exhortations about joy, about gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Prayer, pray about everything. Don't be anxious about anything. And positivity. Well, we're going to key in on joy. If you want to do more Bible study on this, just think about the words that I've observed and the other words that are connected to those words. In fact, tonight at 5 o'clock, Facebook Live at 5, I'm going to teach you how to do Bible study. Pastor Dan Taylor from our church teaches how to study the Bible in our Wednesday night e-live. But tonight at 5, I'm going to talk about how you study the Bible. Like, what is observation? What is interpretation and what's application? That's one way of studying the Bible. And I'm going to show you observation right now. For instance, when are you to rejoice? He says, rejoice in the Lord what? Always. Did you get it? It says, let your gentleness be evident to what? All. So what we're doing, we're observing words. Always. All. He says in verse 6, do not be anxious about what? Anything. But pray about what? Everything. Do you see the absolute words? All, always, everything, anything. He says, and the God of peace will transcend how much of human understanding? all your understanding. And then it says, whatever is true, whatever is admirable, whatever is noble, think on these things. If anything is praiseworthy, think on these things. Did you notice all the words? Always, all, anything, everything, whatever. These are absolute words. Well, when you do observation, you're able to look at all these kinds of words, and it helps you to understand the passage. Now, what the Apostle Paul is saying to us is, even though I'm on house arrest, I want you to rejoice in the Lord always, you Christians who are in Philippi. No matter what you're going through, rejoice in the Lord. No matter what you're facing, rejoice in the Lord. Well, Paul, how often? And his answer is what? You got it. Always. So the question becomes, can I really do that? Like, how do I rejoice in the Lord always? Well, you'll remember that I've said in the past that joy stands for Jesus overflowing in you. It's an acronym, Jesus overflowing in you. And joy defined is a deep confidence that God has everything under control. Joy is defined as a deep confidence that God has everything under control. It's a deep-seated confidence in my spirit. It's a deep-seated confidence in my soul. It's a deep-seated confidence inside of me that believes that no matter what it is I'm going through, that God has everything under control. Now, joy is different than happiness, right? Happiness goes with the happenings. If what's happening is good, then I'm happy. If what's happening is bad, then I'm down and I'm sad. If things are going great, I'm glad. If things are going terrible, I'm sad. So joy and happiness are different. Now listen, joy includes happiness. It doesn't exclude happiness. But you can have joy even when the happenings in your life are not very joyous. Why? Because joy defined is a deep-seated confidence that God has everything under control. Another way of putting it is, I am trusting God with a deeper confidence that He's got this. I guess another way to put it is, God's got this. Can you say that? God's got this. No matter what you're going through, I have a deep-seated joy, even when I'm not happy and even when I'm in sorrow, that God's got this. You know, the reality is, during this COVID season, 50 to 60 to 65,000 people have died just in the United States of America. And so there's a lot of mourning going on. And think, with each death, you may have hundreds, if not thousands, of people whose lives have been touched by grief as a result of it. This is even true with one of our dear pastors. Pastor Sandy Pope, last weekend, lost her 57-year-old sister to COVID. Went in the hospital on Wednesday. By Saturday morning, they diagnosed her with COVID. By Saturday afternoon, she passed away and she died. And that just touched Sandy's heart, but it touched all of our hearts. And we prayed for her, and we're praying with her, and we asked God that even in the midst of mourning, that we would be able to comfort her, but we pray that the Holy Spirit would comfort her. Well, that's not a happy happening. And several funerals I've been a part of just in the last month, they're not happy happenings. One of the young ladies in our church, not so young, but she's in her young 50s, and Linda Rice passed away from breast cancer. And I was with her husband, Thomas. God bless you, Thomas, as we went to the gravesite. Well, during COVID, we had to stay in the car as her body was being lowered down into the grave. We read passages and prayed right from the car. This is not a great season of happiness. And yet at the same time, we can have a deep-seated joy. And that's exactly what I'm sure Pastor Pope has. And I know that Thomas has, as he was talking to me about just the fact that his wife is with the Lord, and the impact and the influence that she has had on his life and has had on the life of the Little Lights children in Southeast Washington, D.C., a ministry that she served in. What am I saying? I'm saying joy is a deep-seated confidence that God is in control, that no matter what I'm going through, I know that God's got this. And so then joy, what is it when the text is saying not joy, but rejoice? Is joy the same thing as rejoicing? Well, they actually, both words, joy and rejoicing, come from the same root word in the Greek, whether it's charon, which is joy, or charite, which is rejoicing. They come from the same root word. You see, joy is something that you possess. Rejoicing is something that you express. Let me say it again. Joy is something you possess, but rejoicing is something you express. This root word of joy is found also in this same book in Philippians chapter 2, verse 18, and Philippians 3, 1. You can turn there and look at it some other time. But one word is a noun or an adjective, joy. Something that I have, or you may describe someone, they have joy, or they seem to be very joyous. It's a descriptive word. That woman is joyous, so that man has a joyful spirit. It can be a noun, it can be an adjective, but rejoicing is a verb. You see, rejoicing is taking joy and actually putting it into action. Rejoicing is an expression of joy. It's kind of like being thankful. You can be thankful or you can give thanks. You see, to be thankful means it's a condition or a position or something that I possess. I am that, thankful. But to give thanks means I'm going to express the thankfulness that's in my heart. And so it's the same with joy and rejoicing. We are supposed to not just be thankful, but give thanks. We're not supposed to just be joyful, but we're actually supposed to express our joy. So rejoicing is joy's mouth. Rejoicing is joy's megaphone. Rejoicing is joy's dance. Rejoicing is joy's outward expression. I want to challenge each of you to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. Maybe you already do that. Remember that song, Rejoice in the Lord Always, and again I say rejoice. It is actually coming out through song. It's coming out through dance. It's coming out through words of expression, like giving thanks. You can give thanks to a lot of people, but the text in other places says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Well, this passage says, rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice in so many things. You can rejoice in football and in basketball and in baseball. You know, all those games we can't really watch right now. You can rejoice in all of that. You can rejoice in someone graduating. Oh, hold on. Yeah, that's going to be virtual too. But rejoice in the Lord always. Doesn't matter whether it's virtual, doesn't matter whether it's physical, or doesn't matter whether it's spiritual, in your bathroom or in your basement. The reality is you can rejoice, but the text is teaching us rejoice, not in all those other things, not that they're wrong, but this text is teaching us rejoice, listen, in the Lord. So like I said, I want to challenge you. Do you rejoice in the Lord? I didn't ask you, do you have joy in the Lord? Because you can have joy in the Lord and never rejoice. Because rejoicing is joy's expression. What I want to challenge you to do is to learn how to express your joy in the Lord. You know, Psalm 150, verse 6, it's the very last verse in the book of Psalm. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You see, it's taking that which is inside of you and taking it outside of you so other people can hear it or see it. How do you express your joy? Through writing, poetry, praise and worship? There's so many ways you can express joy. You ought to think about that as a practical application. How can I take the joy that I have in the Lord? And how can I express it in a way that others can see it, feel it, hear it, and maybe even be sparked by it so they too can feel your joy? Listen, It says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And he repeats himself. He's not stuttering. And again, I said, rejoice. That's a command. See, that's another observation, right? When we do observation, interpretation, application, like we're going to learn tonight in our Bible study, that's a command. You begin to see rejoice is a command. And he says it twice. You see how you're observing? You're observing that it's a command. You're observing that he said it twice. You're observing that he uses the words of absolute several times, like all and always. Not often, not sometimes. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, in your struggles, rejoice in the Lord. In your sickness, rejoice in the Lord. In your difficult times of unemployment or financial struggle, rejoice in the Lord. Breakups, rejoice in the Lord. Breakdowns, rejoice in the Lord. Breakthroughs, you got it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, this is not the only time Paul talks about this. Paul also talks about this in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, be joyful always. You see that? Always. He goes on to say, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. If you read that passage, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. 16, be joyful. 17, be prayerful. 18, be thankful. How do I rejoice in the Lord always, Paul? Well, even while he is in, prison, house arrest, he rejoices in the Lord, and he tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. So then how do I do it? Well, that's the last part of my message, really. And that is three actions to help you take this text and integrate it into your life. Three actions. And I'll help you with three words. Assess, express, bless. Can you say it with me? Assess, express, bless. Let me give you these three actions. Number one, always assess your trials with an attitude of confidence. Always assess your trials with an attitude of confidence. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, consider it pure joy, brothers, sisters included, when you go through various kinds of trial. These trials that you go through, many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It says, this is the first part I'm really focused on, consider it pure joy. That word consider it, count it as, assess it as. Always assess the trials you're going through with an attitude of confidence. What is that confidence? That confidence is that deep-seated belief that God's got this. Even though I'm going through a difficult season, I'm going to count it as joy. I'm going to consider it as joy. I'm going to assess it as joy, not happiness, as joy, with a deep-seated confidence. Listen, I may not feel all right, but I'm going to be all right because God's all right. You see, that's what it means to consider it joy. I may not feel all right, but I know I'm going to be all right because God's always right and God's all right with me. That helps me to realize that God's got this, that there must be a plan that God has in place that I don't see. Yeah, I was talking to a friend, a doctor friend on the phone, even on my way here to preach the message today. And he was talking about how even though all the things are going south for him as a doctor, he's probably now seen 5 deaths just over the last week as a doctor working in 2 different hospitals. And as we were talking about the sad things that are upon us in COVID, we were being reminded of God's in control. God's got this. And we began to assess it with a sense of confidence. Why? Because it's like a forest fire. It's like a brush fire that brushes through the forest. The fire brushes all the way through and takes down all the oak trees and all the other trees around, and now it's laid bare. But guess what? Now things that could never grow before can grow. And the things that were before are done. There are institutions that were so big that the little man couldn't do anything. Guess what? Things have been laid bare. So maybe now it's time for new things to grow that no one could ever see before. That seed in the ground's been trying to grow for hundreds of years and it couldn't grow because the big oaks were around. But the brush fire blows it all away and now you have an open field. And now it's a time for a new seed. Now it's a time for a new idea. Now it's a time for a young entrepreneur who could never break in. Now you can break in because things were laid bare. You've had new thoughts and new ideas, or maybe old thoughts you've had, but you couldn't get in. Well, guess what? The big institutions of the oak trees are down, and now you can do things that you could never do before. This is a time for new thoughts. This is a time for new entrepreneurs. This is a time for a new perspective, a new idea. There are restaurants that are now in business in ways they never thought they'd be in business before. The ones that didn't have delivery, the ones that didn't have drive-through, the ones that didn't have takeout, guess what? Those are the big institutional ones, can't do nothing right now. You know how many Starbucks I drive by? Closed. Oh, unless there's one with the drive-through. You see, before that was something ancillary. You go in, drive-thru's ancillary. Now, it's essential. The things that used to be essential may not be essential anymore, and the things that used to be ancillary now become essential. So now delivery becomes essential, not just convenience. Drive-thru becomes essential, not just convenience. You see what's happening? The brush fire comes through the forest, and now new ideas rise up, and now even small little mom-and-pop places that used to do delivery, they're the ones people are counting on now just to eat. What am I saying? Assess the situation you have as pure joy because you know that God's got this. There's something bigger now that's at play that you didn't realize before. No one was doing telemedicine in a big way. Now, telemedicine's the way to go, isn't it? What are we saying? We're saying that people have been trying to work from home for a long time and their bosses wouldn't let them. Now they have to, and all of a sudden, all that real estate is sitting there, and when people come back after COVID, are you still going to need all those spaces? Open space may be gone forever if social distancing becomes a part of our culture. What am I saying? I'm saying you never know what God is doing. You never know what's happening in the earth, but what you do know is that God's got this. God's got a plan, and his plan is better than yours, and his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so joy means I have a deep-seated confidence that God's got this. And the first thing that I need to do as an action of rejoicing is I have to assess my trials with an attitude of confidence. But here's the second thing. Always express God's character with a sense of conviction. Always express God's character with a sense of conviction. If you're going to be somebody that moves from joy to rejoicing, then you have to express God's character with a sense of conviction. That means that no matter what you're going through, express who God is. You know the phrase that we say? I'll say it, and let's see if you know what I'm talking about. Let's see if you say it back to me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You see, when we do that, what we're doing is we are expressing the very character of God with a sense of conviction, expressing God's character. God is good. God is too wise to make a mistake. You need to tell yourself about the character of God because you're rejoicing when you do. Always express the character of God when you're going through whatever it is you're going through, and that's going to help you become a rejoicer. The character of God. You know what? Some of you have to tell your spirit man and tell your spirit woman the promises of God from his word. That's what's going to help you rejoice in the Lord always. Always assess your trials with confidence. Always express God's character with a sense of conviction. Tell your spirit man, tell your spirit woman what the text says. Hebrews 13:5, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have to tell your spirit that. You have to feed God's word into your spirit to help you express the character of God with a sense of conviction. Tell yourself, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. Tell yourself, I am more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37. Tell yourself that God said, nothing can separate me from God's love. Romans 8:39. Tell yourself the fascinating phrase from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Tell yourself Philippians 4:19, that fascinating phrase that says, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Tell yourself 2 Peter 1:3, that everything I need for life and godliness, God has for me. Tell yourself 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and sound mind. Tell yourself that. What have we said? We said that there are three actions. One is to assess. Two is to express. And here's the third one. Always bless God with the fruit of your lips, giving thanks. Always bless God with the fruit of your lips, giving thanks. Hebrews 13:15 says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. In other words, God is wanting you to speak out blessing. Always bless God with the fruit of your lips, giving thanks, blessing other people, but blessing God by praising him with your mouth. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. You see, I might be able to give thanks for these circumstances later when I look back and see how God brought me through. But right now, I'm not thanking God for what I'm in, but I can thank God in the midst of what I'm in, knowing that this is God's will concerning me. What are we saying? We're saying that joy can be expressed in many ways, but it must be expressed if it's going to equal rejoicing. It can be expressed through music, dancing, painting, exercising, running, preaching, celebrating, cheering, storytelling, testifying. Rejoicing is your personal way of expressing joy from within so other people can witness it from without. And so I've given you these three actions. You've seen the fascinating phrase from Philippians. The question now is, are you going to keep your joy inside of you? If you do, you've not actually followed the command of God, because God's command is to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.